Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs, and I am honored to be able to host this call with you this evening. I have an absolutely fabulous call with longtime friend, superstar client, fantastic multipreneur, Tara Romano is going to be my guest on tonight's call for the first time. Long time coming for me to be able to schedule Tara on tonight's call, and she will unequivocally deliver content and inspiration that will have you in production mode before, during, and after tonight's call. Tara, do I have you on the call with me tonight?
Yes, Jeff, I'm here.
Tara, I don't know if I've ever had this much excitement to have you on tonight's call. I have never seen as many people repost the promotion that we put out. My Facebook page was dominated. You dominated. Your team is fabulous. So I'm going to cover a few quick announcements. I know you have a lot of great content being the superstar multipreneur that you are this evening. I'll be back with you in just a few minutes. All right, Tara?
Sounds great. Thank you, Jeff.
And as I said, I want to welcome everyone to tonight's call. I also want to thank everyone who promoted tonight's call. I mean, I've had great people on this call. I've had Susan Sly, Alexis Romano, Jennifer Trinkner. I've had Mark Victor Hansen, Jim Rohn. But I swear I have never seen as much promotion in one day. So that is a direct reflection of how much respect you have for tonight's guest, Tara Romano. And it is my absolute privilege to introduce her tonight and interview her. So I'm going to cover a very few quick announcements, and then we will move into the inspiration portion of tonight's call. Tonight's call is being recorded, will be available for download and on Podomatic tomorrow. It will be available for you to take advantage of that by noon Eastern Standard Time, Podomatic.com, and that is noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. I want to thank Ilan Amir, who handles the recording of tonight's call and puts it up on time, just like clockwork, each and every Wednesday. If you're on tonight's call, you've probably been on tonight's call many, many different times. If you're brand new, welcome to the call. My name is Jeffrey Combs, president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. I will be experiencing my 19-year anniversary in September of hosting this call. This call originally was a 2 o'clock in the afternoon Pacific time and has grown into what it is tonight, with thousands and thousands of downloads and pod and people listening in on the following day and the evening of the call. I have great guests lined up before the end of the year. I will have Alexis Romano on the call. I will have Mark Victor Hansen and a whole host of other mompreneurs, successful business owners, inspirational speakers, writers, and superstar internet marketers. Now, Saturday, July 25th, I will be speaking in Chicago, Illinois. That is a generic event open to the public. It will be my unequivocal privilege to share the stage that Saturday with C.G. Siddons. I've spoken to C.G. several times on the East Coast. This will be the first time C.G. and I have ever done an event together, she and I. August 1st, I will be in Long Island, New York. I heard Joanne and Mike Cavalcanti on tonight's call. Thank you very much for bringing your team to the calls. I also want to thank Kelly Bartoletti and Joy Schoenholtz, who consistently host that event. And Joanna, thank you for bringing your team to that event. August 8th, I will be in Marina Del Rey with tonight's guest, Tara Romano. Tara is an unequivocal, exceptional business owner, multipreneur, first-class woman. She will be sharing the stage with me on August 8th. In beautiful Marina Del Rey, which is incidentally a great place to host an event right there on the bay. August 14th, I'll be hosting a Millionaire Blueprint. That is a 12 to 4 event on Friday. That is before a large company event. We have plenty of room for tickets. We usually sell this event out. We usually sell it out the last month, so get a ticket soon. We have room for about 800 tickets at this event. On Saturday, August 22nd, I'll be in Phoenix, Arizona. August 29th, Portland, Oregon. September 29th, Pleasanton, California. September 26th, Atlanta, Georgia. And a very, very special event in Charleston, South Carolina. And that is going to be a fabulous event. I already have many people who are committed to flying into one of those beautiful, small cities, historical cities, in the United States. Charleston is majestic right there on the eastern seaboard of the beautiful Atlantic Ocean. If you've never been to the Battery in Charleston, it's breathtaking, or downtown Charleston, it's unequivocally a place you deserve to attend. I plan on doing an event at some point in Savannah, Georgia, and other places there in the Deep South. On October 10th, I'll be in Albany, New York for the first time ever. October 17th, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. October 31st, Buffalo. And then November 7th, I'll be hosting an event with Susan Sly, Alexis Romano, and the one and only Mark Victor Hansen. Now, many of you have seen Jack Canfield many times. My good friend Mark Victor Hansen, I've shared the stage with more than 20 times. I've also booked Mark to speak for multiple events. I've assisted him in booking many events. I've interviewed him many times. He's endorsed many of my books. So it will be my unequivocal privilege to be able to host Mark with an exceptional crew of exceptional speakers, Alexis, Susan, and myself. Now, that is a one-day event, and I decided to do ticket sales for that event. Tickets will be $20 for general admission and $47 for the first couple rows. I was going to have it at $99. I'm going to have it at $20. You can see Mark Victor Hansen, Susan Sly, Alexis, and myself. Tickets will be released very, very soon, and I'll be sending out information on that situation. And also, I have committed next year on March 19th, Dr. Joe Dispenza. I will have Joe at the Marriott at Newark Airport. And I'm in process right now of negotiating with Simon Sinek to do a one-day event on the East Coast. We had Simon booked for November 7th, and then he had a conflict where he couldn't get back from Sweden. His agent has told me that they will commit to us to hosting an event in the early spring or early summer of 2016. What a great opportunity. If you've never read the book Start With Why, How, What, that is a must read for your library. With that, I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. It is with great pride and admiration that I have the privilege of introducing our next guest to you. A little under 4 years ago, just about 4 years ago, I had the privilege of meeting tonight's guest, Tara Romano. I had the opportunity, privilege, and pleasure of coaching Tara's sister, Alexis. Alexis hired me to be her coach in June of 2011. Tara attended an event with C.G. Siddons in October of 2011, hired me to be her coach, and we have been together for just a little under 4 years. I have unequivocally watched Tara blossom. Tara was once a bartender in Hoboken, New Jersey. She has a college degree, is very, very skilled in multiple modalities of exercise, dance, and fitness. She's also a very skilled network marketer, a multiple six- and seven-figure income earner. And for the past 4 years, Tara has coached, inspired, and motivated hundreds of people and assisted people to transform their lives, not only physically, but financially, emotionally, and spiritually. She's retired from multiple bartending jobs and teaching 20-plus fitness classes weekly to building her own fitness brand and teaching dance classes worldwide. And Tara has her own YouTube channel and has been viewed by hundreds of thousands of people. Tara is assisting others on her team and her network to do the same. She is now a seven-figure income earner in network marketing. Not in her career. This year will be a seven-figure year. She's achieved over seven figures in her career, but this is a seven-figure year. She's well-known in dance, fitness, in her community with a YouTube channel with over 3 million views and over 25,000 followers. Tara, my unequivocal privilege to have you on tonight's call.
Thank you so much, Jeff, for that amazing introduction, and it truly is such an honor to be on your call tonight.
Thank you, Tara, and you know, what was it with your team and your followers today? I have never seen as much buzz. You know that flyer that we put out every Monday that shows who the guest is? I have never seen so many of them on my profile page as today. I swear there was at least 50 shares today. I know that wasn't your doing. That's a direct reflection of how much your team loves you. How did you create so much love in that team out there on the East Coast?
I really appreciate that, Jeff. It's just part of our system, and we support each other in really everything that we do. So I feel like it's so natural that if anybody on our team was on the call, that we would all support each other like that.
I saw Danielle Irby, Kelly Bartoletti. I saw just a host of people that you've mentored, inspired. in your teams, you and your sister's teams, and it was really, really, really inspiring to see how the teamwork came together and really, really assisted you and me to pack this call out. I'm looking at the numbers right now, the people on the call. They are OTF, off, or OTC, off the charts. Well, Tara, let's go back to where it all began. You went on, you graduated from high school and went on to get a college degree eventually while putting yourself through school. Is that correct?
That's correct, Jeff. I actually went back to college later on in life. I had stopped after 4 years. I never finished. I dabbled in all sorts of jobs, but I really stuck with bartending and teaching fitness classes, and I had gone back to get my degree at 28. I was 28 when I went and got my college degree. I finished.
Well, Tara, I have the privilege of knowing your story. So I'm one of the people that see your glory. I see what you've created 4 years. I mean, you unequivocally paid the price plus what you did beforehand. But I would like you to share just a little bit about the Tara Romano story, because you definitely were not an overnight success. People see you today and they go, oh, my God, what a physique you have. What a great body you have. What a great following you have. You have a YouTube channel, 7 figures. Two multiple businesses, people who follow you, people who love you. How did this really happen, this phenomenon? You were an overnight success, is that correct?
It absolutely is not correct. I was a work in progress, and I still am a work in progress. And it just was the compound effect of doing things consistently and truly just following the lead that my sister set out for myself and the rest of my team.
And your sister is, who's your sister for the people who are brand new?
The amazing Alexis Romano.
And she has been a great mentor to you as well, would you agree?
For my entire life, way even before network marketing was introduced into my life, my sister was truly like a mother figure. I went to her with everything always, and I still do.
As you know, your sister has great habits, great discipline. She's a multi-producer, a multitasker, but you're not too bad yourself. And, you know, you are not, you know, many people say, oh, you're Alexis's sister. Oh, Alexis must have done so much for you. Well, Alexis was a great mentor to you, but you are a producer. You unequivocally are a producer. And I want you to share just a little bit about what it was like in your early network marketing career, because you were not an overnight success. I had the privilege of coaching you 4 years ago when you were not making $1,000 a month. You were not making very much money as a fitness instructor doing dance classes. And I remember when you were teaching classes in the Baker League on a large gymnasium with people playing basketball on the other end of the gym. Remember that era of coaching?
As clear as day. Actually, before our call, I kind of reverted back to that time.
I remember when you were going to rent a space and you're going to do a $40,000 build-out and you're going to get into there's a potential you might get into a lease. We had a great conversation. That was a real, real big turning point in your career. I remember that. But can you share with the folks a little bit about what it was like your first year or two in network marketing?
Absolutely. So my first year in network marketing, I don't even consider it much because I wasn't fully committed. At that time, I just didn't believe in network marketing, because for me, the word network marketing was an ugly word. I didn't want to be one of those quote-unquote people. I didn't want to sell anything. I didn't want to approach anybody, and I was nervous about what people thought about me. And I truly wanted to be a phys ed teacher. I was waiting to get a job, and it was 2 years that went by, and I was still bartending. I was still bartending multiple places, driving an hour from Seaside Park to Asbury Park, and teaching 20-plus fitness classes. I was driving from Ocean County, New Jersey, to Monmouth County, New Jersey, and still barely making ends meet. And I vividly remember, as clear as day, and I know my sister does too, and those of my team that are on the call hear me say this all the time, it was a Saturday night, and I had just turned 33. I called my sister crying, which wasn't unusual. And I was underneath the stairs on a busy Saturday night. I said, I can't believe this is my life. Like, I can't believe that I'm getting yelled at by my boss when I work so hard, and this is not what I want. And she said, okay, then you're going to do this business for real, or you're going to find someone else to call crying. So it was honestly just at that moment where I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. And I have to tell you something really funny, that after I hired you, I started listening to your CDs every day, and it was on my hour drive to work that I put you in my car, because I knew as soon as I got out of that car and walked into the bar, somebody or something was going to really frustrate me, and your CDs kind of just got me in that mindset to walk in the door.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, you also had a young woman in your team who you also were very instrumental in mentoring, C.G. Siddons. C.G. went on to become a seven-figure income earner in her company, top income earner. You and C.G. bartend together at times. Can you share a little bit about your early frustrations with C.G. and what the two of you went through together in your early career?
C.G. and I really grew through this business together, and we still grow so much. She's just so incredible. So if those of you on the call who don't know her, C.G. Siddons is just such an amazing young person, entrepreneur. And I actually was her trainer to be a bartender, and she was an amazing bartender because she literally did anything that I told her to, and nothing changed when she came into network marketing. When she first started, I wasn't really committed, so my sister definitely assisted in getting her started, and we, like I said, we really started together almost. I definitely had a year or so ahead of her going to events, but CG was just so coachable, so anything that my sister told her to do, any event that I went to, she was going.
2013 was a real turning point for you, your sister, and CG. It's where you really started to turn the corner. The three of you really came together as a team. That was the year that I remember that. If you remember back to your company event in August of 2013, almost 2 years ago, your sister had a multiple six-figure month that month. CG was really breaking through. You started to break through. I'll never forget that you and CG were able to pay off your college loans with one check. What was it like to be able to write a check to pay off your liability debt for an education you weren't even using?
It was an out-of-body experience. When I found out that that happened and I earned that commission, I called CG right away, screaming. And then I thought, what am I going to use it for? You know, I wasn't going to buy clothes or a car or anything. I thought about paying off my car and all of any credit cards and my student loan right away. And I remember the conversation with the guy on the phone. It was a big check that I was paying, and I asked him if he had any balloons or anything for me, because for me to pay that back, I'm debt-free. I've been debt-free for 2 years now. It's such an incredible feeling.
And many people on tonight's call are in the place that they want to do what you did, but they'd have to do what you've done. Now, one thing that you, your sister, and CG have is all three of you, you have that East Coast Jersey girl tenacity. It's like when you went to college, you must have majored in Discipline 101 and Tenacity 102. Is that right?
Something like that.
But that's really an attribute that the three of you have. You are very disciplined. You're very tenacious. And you definitely get it done. What's it like to be spend a day in the life of Tara Romano, a woman who owns three businesses? I'm sure you just kick back now and enjoy, have a siesta every day down in beautiful Marina Del Rey. Is that right?
my work it doesn't feel like work a lot of the time, but no, I definitely don't sit and have a party ever. I still say no a lot of times to going out and things I want to do, but it's because I just have such a purpose. Coming into network marketing gave me more than financial success or any kind of monetary success. It really gave me so much more of a purpose that it's not just for me or what it could do for me, but what it can do for other people. And that started to grow outside of network marketing into my fitness and dance career.
Tara, you have awesome teammates. You've attracted some just first-class productive women, Joanna Cavalcanti. I mean, you've got many, Jessica DeGrazio, you have many, many people in your team, CG, and then CG's team. So you have really created, you and your sister have created that culture. But I know this is one of these questions. You know how these questions I ask you and you go, how'd you do it? And you go, I don't know, it just happened. You know how we typically, you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. We talk about this all the time.
I just did it? Well, I'm going to ask you to go beyond I just did it, because you really did just do it. Because here's something I want you to share. Not only did you become a seven-figure income earner in a network marketing company, but you did it part-time, full-time. It's like you were in between part and full-time while you were building another successful business and branding yourself in other multiple products. Now,
yeah.
I mean, how does someone do that? How were you able to not get overwhelmed when you had many obligations? It was a real skill.
So I love this question, Jeff, and you actually assisted me in answering this one day because you said you can't just say I just did it because people really need to understand. And my sister helped me too because I started working when I was 11 years old. I started washing dishes in my sister's boyfriend's family's restaurant. I never had less than three or four W-2 forms. One year I had 7 W-2 forms. So it was always in me, like innate ability to just work. So when network marketing came around, I wasn't thinking like, oh my gosh, I'll never be able to make six figures. My goal was to make full-time income, which was to $50,000 a year, and that's what I wrote down. So in taking the steps and moving forward in terms of network marketing, I did what I was supposed to do, and that meant posting on Facebook, networking with people. I have an innate ability to network with people just by being myself. I love doing it and teaching fitness classes and dance. It was just something I always loved. And a big part of my business are my clients and my friends and people that I care so much about and amazing instructors. So it was just doing what I was supposed to do over and over and over. And even on the days where I felt frustrated or didn't want to do it, you just did it because that was just a part of the system and that's what we did. It was just like going to work. It was the same thing for me.
How were you able to dedicate blocks of time to the multiple businesses you had? Because the businesses you have were not easy businesses to operate. You had multiple dance classes, plus you had a team that was flourishing at the same time. You had a lot of obligations. Someone's
right
on the call tonight that has children, a lot of obligations, a job. Can you give them some insight on how to really dedicate the time to building a business when you have other obligations?
Absolutely, Jeff. And I know some people on the call have children, and they might be listening and think that I can't relate to them. And mothers are just amazing. You're just amazing people. You're just incredible. But I did have multiple jobs that I was driving back and forth to. So I was quote-unquote busy. But I remember my sister said when I called her overwhelmed a bunch of times, she said, you have to be able to do what you're doing, whether you're in your car, whether you're in another state, didn't matter where I was. So I would do calls from my car, and I remember when the hurricane happened 2 years ago, I was in 4 different apartments in 4 months, the craziest time of my life, and that was when my business actually grew. It was just doing what I had to do, even if I had to pull over into a parking lot and do a call. That's what I did.
I remember that. Your sister was without electricity at least 2 weeks on her cell phone. That was November and December of 2012. That is unequivocally when your business absolutely hit the wall in a great way. I remember that. It really started to take shape in December of 2012 at the Christmas season. I mean, you had someone in your team that enrolled 30, 35 people that month. It was really happening.
Yeah.
What did that do for your belief to see your business start to grow from 1,000 a month to all of a sudden 10, 12, 15, and 20,000 in 1 year's time?
It was just so incredible, Jeff, because I was seeing that it wasn't just possible for my sister or myself, but other people too. And again, going back to the compound effect, doing something a little bit every day, and it just happening. And it just kept happening for one team member, then another team member, and it's just amazing. There's, you know, six-figure income earner every week, I feel like, on our team. And a lot of them are mothers who are working mothers with multiple kids, multiple jobs. It's so inspiring.
You know, Tara, people see you today as a rock star online, but I also remember back in the day when there was, I'm not sure if I can put myself out there, I'm a private person. Do you remember this era?
Yes, I remember hardly posting on Facebook and my sister yelling at me, and the only people who were really liking or commenting were my sister and CJ or anybody that I tagged in my post.
What was it like in those early days when you didn't know how to do a video and didn't know how to write? How did you overcome your anxiety about being judged, making mistakes, putting myself out there, being a private, shy person? How did you overcome that?
I just did it. That's how I overcame it. And even today, because I still am afraid to do things, and I always tell anybody that I speak with, whatever you're afraid of, you should do. And I was a huge person where I was so nervous what other people would think. But I did it, and I found that in doing it, it inspired others, and that was huge. And that's how I connected with so many people from literally all around the world.
Let's talk a little bit about your brand, because, as I said, you are a seven-figure income earner in the network marketing direct sales industry. That is one of your businesses. But let's talk a little bit about your passion and your innate ability to teach exercise, dance, and fitness. How did you become so good at that type of modality?
I so appreciate that, Jeff. So I have been teaching fitness classes since I was earlier mid-20s, and I danced just was something that I always loved to do. And when Zumba came around, I was just in awe. So I was just all in Zumba. I was obsessed with it. I loved it. And I started seeing these girls post their choreography on YouTube, and I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. I could totally do that, because I remember when I was young, you know, making my sister watch dances that I made up. So I started a YouTube channel not having any clue with what I was doing. And I have to thank Paul Lampa for videoing me and helping me with that in the beginning. And I just started connecting with people from all over the world. And some of my closest friends are from other countries. And a lot of the people in my business are from social media. So it was just me doing it, doing something that I wasn't sure how to do, and being consistent with it. And I truly just had fun with it afterwards.
All right. You bring up one of the most exceptional points of business. You're talking about ready, aim, fire, meaning that you just said it. You said the magic words that very few people ever overcome. And this is also the reason I'm bringing Simon Sinek to the East Coast, because he talks about start with why instead of how. You did not get stuck in how. You just did. When you say you just did it, you didn't let the minutiae, the facts, you didn't let the fact that you didn't have the technical know-how, you're inexperienced, didn't know what you're doing, stop you from just doing it. For the people on tonight's call, Tara, many of them don't understand to start with why. It's why, how, what. Now, that's a place that you live. That's what you're really unique about you, CG, and your sister. I've watched you do it. I also watched Jennifer Trinker be like that. I've watched Susan Sly do that. For someone who lives in their head, processes, gets overwhelmed, what advice would you give them about just doing it?
So that's another great question, and I was just speaking to somebody on my team about this. I tell people to do one thing a day that you either don't feel like doing or that you're afraid of doing. It doesn't even have to be something really big. Maybe take a new fitness class. Talk to the person at Starbucks if that's not something that you do. Look at the person in the elevator in the eye, because these are little things that people are really afraid of. So just by doing it, that one little thing, every single day, it'll get to the bigger thing. So like maybe putting up a video on Facebook seems so terrifying to you. But that's the end result. So just work your way up to it.
Tara, you don't have a degree in dance. You didn't go to Juilliard School of Dance. You don't have degrees in exercise science, do you?
No, not at all.
You don't have a degree in anatomy and kinesiology, is that correct?
We had to take one or two classes to get my phys ed degree, but no.
Right. So you have a, I want to make sure we understand. So you have a college degree from what university or what college?
Keene University in Union,
right.
New Jersey.
And you don't have a master's or a doctorate degree or anything like that, right?
I do not.
So you have a college degree. So how does someone become as creative and innovative? See, that's what many people want to know, because you are a Jersey girl who tended bar. I can still relate to that. I bartended. But here's what you and I and many people that really get it have, and so many people don't. We know how to hustle. We know how to focus on the results. We know how to focus on the solution rather than the problem. Now, how does someone who's so stuck in their head become innovative and creative and learn to brand themselves the way you have done? Is that the $10 million question?
You know, I remember sitting, standing in the corner of my last bartending job, looking out into the ocean. It was a beautiful place in Asbury Park. And there, you know, all the young 20-year-olds were coming in drunk from the night before. And I thought to myself, okay, so once I find a teaching job, I won't do it forever. Like, I just always felt like there was something else. And on my day shift of working for 5 hours, for $50 the most, I was like, I know there's more, but I just don't know what it is or where it is. And I was always entrepreneurial-minded. I started Zumba programs in the school. you know, I would do outside boot camps. So I always, again, like you said, hustled. So I think in me just, again, doing things, even though I didn't really know what I was doing, and it just came.
Tara, I can relate. Here, in 1992, I had my first six-figure year, my first $20,000 a month in network marketing and direct sales. In 1993, everything fell apart, and I spent 1994 having a straight commission sales job in the day, selling wholesale food to restaurants for a company called Cisco, bartending at a place, or I'm sorry, waiting tables at a place called the Fish Market on the Sacramento River in Stockton, California. I'll never forget the summer of 94, how far I had fallen. I was 2 years separated from having a six-figure income. I was making about $60,000 a year working two jobs. And I'll never forget, they used to have washed-up bands on the boardwalk there. And so I was virtually waiting tables. Steppenwolf was playing, Nazareth was playing, Blue Oyster Cult was playing, all these bands from the 70s and 80s. And I am freaking waiting tables in my mid-30s going, I cannot believe that this is where I am in life. I mean, I was so pissed off at myself. You ever reach that place where you get that pissed off because you're not where you want to be? You look around and you're slinging hash, slinging drinks to drunks. Remember someone that wants a strawberry daiquiri at midnight? Remember those kinds of...
I think every bartender on the phone right now is left.
I'll have me one of them there, pina coladas. No, Chief, we don't make those after midnight.
Oh, that's so funny.
Just go down the street.
Yeah.
And if we make one, we don't put any alcohol in them. So if you want one with no alcohol, here you go. That'll be $15, no tip.
Yeah, always. Oh, my gosh, I remember this Thursday.
Oh, my God, I just broke a sweat remembering how miserable that.
Yeah.
Everyone who's ever made it had their worst job. I mean, the worst job for me, Tara, was I was selling wholesale food. I thought I'd be selling to five-star restaurants. My route, I got a sales route. I'm like a salesman's route. I couldn't believe it. I was selling wholesale food to convalescent hospitals and retirement homes. And, I mean, it was so bad. I hated going in there. I hated it so bad I just quit one day, and I committed to never having a job again. Do you remember what it was like to have that kind of breakthrough?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I think now, you know, my sister always says, you know, entrepreneurs always create more. And I could never go back to that, ever.
You know, there are people on the call tonight who are relatively new. You have a lot of teammates. There's people who admire you. But let's talk about where the real inner game of business is, the real innovation, the creativity, but most importantly, the discipline, doing the do. You know, it's great to go to seminars, events, rallies. I know that you've invested a lot of money in yourself in coaching, seminars, and events. But the real game is won by being focused, by learning how to create connections, learning how to prospect, learning how to build a team, learning how to connect with people and write sales copy. For someone who's really stuck and isn't really moving forward, but they still have aspirations, what insight would you give them about the discipline required to really build a business?
Absolutely. So I love events. CG and I are like all about events. And what I can say is this, events are great, calls are great, coaching is great, books, podcasts. Whatever it is that you're doing to get ready, like you always say, get ready to get ready. But if you're doing all that, you're just preparing yourself. Unless you actually take action and do the do and something every day, unless you pick up the phone, unless you make the do the email, have the launch party, have a vendor table. I mean, I was like putting I was old school 3 years ago, putting flyers around Asbury Park for my fitness classes. I mean, it was just like there's no sitting home or there's no like watching TV all night. I mean, it was just really doing it.
Tara, open that up a little. I did that too. Brad Mossman, I know you know Brad. Brad put out 800 flyers, or he put out several hundred flyers. He got six phone calls, and I go, well, that's pretty good, dude. Six is a bet. And so flyers, I've done that. I've done thousands of flyers. You know the flyers, you put them in a bag with a rock and you throw them in driveways? I've done those. Tell them what it's like to put out flyers. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And so my really great friend, Naj, when I first moved to Asbury, this was about 3 or maybe going on 4 years ago, That's when I was creating my fitness brand, and I didn't know anything about Monmouth County. So we made flyers, and all day, all around Monmouth County, putting them up, and he wanted to stop, and I remember saying no. I'm like, because you don't know who we're missing. And I actually met a girl who got me, like, that same day, and staying longer, I met a girl who got me a teaching job after that. I mean, it was still a while ago, but it was just, like, just little things like that that people normally, they won't do. And to me, it just felt so normal because I wasn't going to hang out in my house, you know, all day. Like, I'm just not a person to sit around and do nothing.
Did you get any calls in flyers? Did you get any calls off the flyers? People ask me that all the time.
It was more people. Yeah, I actually did. I definitely did.
And I'll tell you why I got calls, because I had a good attitude about putting flyers out. And
yeah.
I used to talk to myself in the flyers when I was putting them out. I would put them on cars and I'd go, this person's going to call me. This person's going to call me. And I would have a really high percent of flyers people call me back. I'd have around 10% when other people would get 1%. And my team would go, how'd you get such a high percent of people calling? I said, it was all about my attitude. I didn't dread it. I didn't avoid it. I did it because I had to have more leads than I had time. And when it comes to leads, you have to be really creative. Can you give a few tips on lead generation, because you are a lead master?
You know, I sometimes I think people think of leads as I have to get people in my business, or how am I going to get them? Oh, my gosh. But when we really realize it's completely about connecting with someone, you might meet someone, but you never know if they're going to be a fit for you or your business. And if people can do it in more of a relaxed way, and just as a, that's why I say practicing every day. Like, if you're not a person that talks to somebody in the elevator or looks people in the eye when you walk by them, or talks to the person, the cashier, wherever you are, then those are the things you have to start doing, because you might not think that having a conversation with a cashier is anything big, but it completely is.
This is so good right here, what you're covering. This is gold.
Thank you, Jeff. But you've honestly assisted me throughout the years, and so many people, so many other leaders, and, you know, everyone on our team. But it's just the simple things. It's not sitting at your desk, oh, my gosh, I have to make this phone call, and it taking 30 minutes to dial one number. It's really just every single day you talking to people, looking at them, because you honestly never, ever know who is going to need what you have. I mean, and I think, you know, majority of people in the world need it, but when you truly make that connection, and the people on my team are true connections. I never tried ever, not one person that's in my business, and you can interview them without me listening, they will tell you that I never force them into my business. And I've actually said to a couple people, I'm not sure if this is a fit for you right now. So,
oh, the takeaway, I love it. Carrie, the gold you just shared with them is something I also have lived. It means to really succeed in business, you have to be affable, meaning you have to be able to have some warmth. But if you have a story in your head that I'm not good enough, I don't deserve it, I'm going to get judged, I'm going to get in trouble, and that's, unfortunately, a lot of people come from this place, I'm going to get in trouble. I can't do flyers, I might get in trouble. I can't do roadside signs, I might get in trouble. You know, what are my friends going to think? Oh, my God. But you really have to be warm, friendly, and at some point start to develop a relaxed relatability about connecting with people. Just like you said, when you walk through a restaurant, you'll be able to smile, nod your head, look for eye contact, look for people who you can engage. And that's really what the rules of engagement are, being able to find people who are warm. You know, there are negative people in the world, but there's also plenty of people who are emotionally available who will give you a head nod, give you eye contact. What advice would you give someone when it comes to that, when you engage with someone? Now, I know that you and your sister are very skilled at teaching the questions, but so many people get caught up in, what do I say? How do I talk? How do you engage someone? Because I know you don't throw up on them.
No, and I also know when someone doesn't want to be bothered, and that's absolutely fine because, you know, we're human. Some days we don't want to be, but the two things I do, I ask, how are you, or I compliment them. So the biggest thing, I live in an apartment building now, so I'm always on the elevator, and I hate that awkward silence. So I'm always complimenting a person. And then we get into conversation, and there's a couple of times where people were holding the door and still communicating, and then I find out where they live, and we connect that way. But then there's sometimes that people just don't want to talk, and that's fine too. But at least I know that I, you know, extended my, the, you know, the branch whatever the saying is. And, you know, you just never know what you can get from that.
So what you're really saying is that over time, you learned how to read the situation and read the people.
Absolutely.
Without being concerned, oh, my God, I got to say something to get this person. I got to say something smart. I got to get them. That was good.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, and especially I love, and I don't know if you, like, where do you guys go for coffee or tea or whatever, but I love Starbucks because the workers are incredible. Like, they're just amazing. So, I mean, I'm always talking to them. And whether, you know, you get their number or not, it's just great conversation because they're so friendly. So if you're nervous about talking to someone, go to Starbucks because they're so fun to talk to.
It's also easy because you can compliment someone, especially someone who's working behind the counter in Starbucks, it's a multitasker. Someone who can handle two registers is waiting for people and going, can I get you a drink? Can I get you a drink? That's unequivocally someone you want to be able to say, because if you look at, everyone wears a name tag in Starbucks, so it's very easy to use their first name. You use their first name to engage. And see, if you'll start to learn to engage, then you won't talk. And unfortunately, I know you know this, Tara, most people, they open mouth and then they start talking. And they start, then they blow the whole thing by talking too much. They start talking about benefits, features. Oh, I've got this great product. You need it. Oh, you'd be great at this. I really want you on my team. It's a kiss of death. The minute you tell someone they need it, you want them, you're not finding out anything about them, and you are really skilled at this. That is fact-finding, rapport building, and small talk.
Yes. And I want for people to understand, especially if you're new to network marketing, I was not always like this. And I know some people look at me and they see I'm fit and I'm a fitness instructor and they might say, well, you know, of course you're good at this and you're a fitness instructor, so people look up to you. But I wasn't this confident, sure fitness instructor 4 years ago. I was, you know, I was nervous, unsure. I wasn't as confident. My posture was different. So this really took time, but that's why I say it's so important to be consistent and do the things even when you don't want to.
Do you remember 3 years ago in Jersey City, you, your sister, CG, brought about 15 people to an event. There were 60 people at that event. It was in the summer. And there was a woman there who was having a little bit of success, and you were actually intimidated by her. Remember that?
Yeah, I know exactly
who you're talking about. You're like, oh, my God, she's a this, and I'm a here, and oh, my God, she's an instructor, and I'm a this, and I'm a that, and I'm like, cowgirl, chill out. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. We all go through it. And, you know, there's still some times that I go through these same feelings and these same thoughts. But the only difference now is I know how to get rid of it a lot sooner. I don't stay stuck in that feeling as long as I used to. It's literally for like a conversation. I talked to my sister about something this morning about my new business, and it was literally over in 3 minutes. And I didn't think about it for the rest of the day, and I actually did something productive after our conversation. Whereas 3 years ago, I would have cried. I would have been irrational. I would have, like, stayed in my house all day. I'm a completely different person.
So in other words, you've learned how to melt up, not melt down.
Yes, and you completely assisted me with that, Jeff. Honestly, you and my sister.
That was classic, melt up, not down. That was good. God, I have so much history with you, your sister, CG, Joe Alonzo, Don Ferentino. I mean, there's just so many first-class people in that culture that you and your sister created. You know, you're not as visible as some of the other leaders in that team because you have other businesses. But what many people don't understand, you're the straw that really stirred your sister's drink back in 2012 and 13. You were equally as productive as she was, and I know how proud she is because she's your sister and she got to mentor you, but you unequivocally paid the price back then. You were putting in the 12, 14-hour days doing two businesses. You were barely getting by in 2012. I was your coach. I watched it. Mm-hmm. I remember you'd have some of those challenges where you get overwhelmed, you'd cry, but here's what was unique about you. You were very teachable. You were very coachable. You'd get a little excited, but you came back to earth very quickly. So I would like you to share with them, what were some of those challenging moments you went through 4 and 5 years ago where you were making no money, barely getting by back in that era?
Yeah.
What were some of those challenging moments then? How did you overcome it?
Yeah, I mean, I borrowed money the first two times I hired you. And I remember bartending, and I would write out the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, all the way to Saturday. And then I would kind of project my week and about how much money I would make, and I would add that all up, and then I would add my expenses to see how much I would have left. And I would see how many shifts I would have to pick up. I mean, for me, it was never about not having any money. It was just how I was going to make more. And because, you know, I mean, before network marketing, it was just picking up extra shifts, staying longer, teaching extra classes. But once network marketing came into the mix, I knew that I had to be at a certain amount a week before I left bartending. And after I fully committed, it took about a year for me to get there. And it wasn't even full-time at that point. I mean, I still had my classes. But the fact that I got to leave bartending was the most liberating feeling ever.
I remember that. I was your coach when that – I remember you had just quit. That was back in around –
3 years ago.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you made a key statement there, fully committed. So I wrote that down, and I put parentheses around that or quotation marks around that. What does that mean to be fully committed in your own words?
Yeah, so, you know, I was doing what I thought was enough, which was, you know, going to events here and there. And, like, I wouldn't take off of work on the weekend for sometimes because that was my money and I needed it. I was posting on Facebook sometimes. I was doing calls and, you know, getting on calls sometimes. But, and I remember my sister saying, you know, when are you going to take this seriously? And I totally got it. And it was at that point where I was like, I can't believe this is my life. And understanding that I sometimes wasn't enough. Like, sometimes wasn't going to get me out of bartending. Sometimes wasn't going to make me a six-figure income or inspire others. You know, sometimes was only going to get me some money. So once I did what I was supposed to really do, and which was, you know, go to events all the time, get on the calls all the time, post all the time, connect with people all the time. So,
Tara, you mentioned bartending. I'm a recovering bartender myself. So I remember working brunches with hangovers the night before. I've closed down nightclubs, discotheques, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and kept drinking. You know, bartending is a noble profession, but I remember you hated it. What was it about that type of job that just drove, that inspired you to quit? Because your dislike, your dissatisfaction, your relegation to where you were in life actually inspired you. And people on tonight's call are listening. I know that I coach a woman who's a waitress. She hates it. I coach a woman who's a doctor who can't stand the way the whole medical industry has changed. I mean, there are many people on tonight's call with dissatisfaction. What can you share with them about that dissatisfaction, how to turn dissatisfaction into inspiration?
Well, I would go into work, and I had to share money. As a bartender, we had to pool money, and I was hands down the hardest worker back there. And I would get really upset. I would be outside busting my butt, sweating in my long black sleeves, in my long black pants, while this other kid was inside in the air conditioner watching TV. I just remember this. And then I would, you know, take the buckets of ice up 2 floors, be drenched, and the owner would come out. And I remember him, like, kicking the bucket over and saying, this place looks like crap. So I almost felt like I was giving him money away and then getting treated by, you know, I'm not saying that it's always like this, but where I was, my last job, the owner just treated me not, and everyone else just not good. And it was, I just knew I was better. I was such a hard worker, and the only time they wanted to talk to me was when I was doing something wrong. I remember them taking my cell phone away on New Year's Eve, and I was like, this doesn't happen in real life. Like, I was 33 years old, and I was being treated like a child and just not good. And I just, you know, that was it. And it was probably, maybe that was one of the nights I called my sister crying.
I relate. 35 years old, college degree, had been a six-figure income earner in network marketing. I was waiting tables on a river seafood restaurant with rock bands that were washed up. I mean, these guys were so old they were wearing toupees. Oh, I was going, oh my God, how did I end up here? I mean, is that what you mean?
Yeah, I a couple of times in my life, even when I was 28 going back to college, I was like, what happened? Like, where did I make the wrong decision? And I mean, and I just knew I was such a hard worker, and I had such a passion for teaching kids and teaching phys ed, and I was more than qualified to be a teacher, and I just didn't understand why wouldn't anyone hire me? Like, oh my gosh, it's like bringing back all these vivid memories, remembering where I came from. And my sister being there all the way, So I love you, Seth.
Tara, people see you today and they say, wow, you've got it made. You live in Marina Del Rey. You moved across the country. You no longer bartend. You've got multiple, you've got two, three businesses. You've got a brand going. But just like you're sharing, it was not always easy. What kept you in the game? When you were making no money, what kept you in the game? I know your sister was instrumental, but what people really have to dig deep for their why. What was it that kept you inspired to get to a place where you could quit a job?
So what kept me inspired after I made the money is because, I mean, my integrity, I would never stop. It wouldn't even matter. Like, it's just not in my DNA. And the fact that, like, I had so many people on my team that required a leader, and a real leader doesn't stop. I mean, a real leader, no matter how much money you make, you're always going to be assisting, and that's really for me what it's about. Again, and I hand to God on this, it's not what it does for me, it's what it's doing for other people. It's the most incredible feeling that money, you can't put a price on it, Jeff, and I know you understand what I'm saying.
I understand equivocally. I remember having a team with no one producing, and I was the only one producing, and then I remember having a team with 26-figure income earners. Mm-hmm. And today I've coached 5 women this year that are having 7-figure years, so I know what it's like. I've started business from scratch with me and my dreams and no one else. Tara, what was the most challenging moment that you faced in your entrepreneurial career, and what would you say it was that you overcame it?
It was when the hurricane happened, Jeff. It was right before then that I started making full-time income. It was just such a crazy time, and it was such a blur. I was living out of bags, and it was just, I mean, a couple people really close to me really assisted me with that time, but 4 different places in four months, and I just don't even remember, but just remember just doing it and thinking, like, can I really do this? Like, what is going on in my life? And, you know, I was 34 at the time then.
I was coaching, I remember. I remember we did an event in Weehawk and downstairs on the first floor. Susan Sly was the guest. We had standing room only. I remember it was absolutely packed in that little narrow room. We had about 130 people in there. I remember it like yesterday. And Susan Sly spoke. She did Organize Your Life. And then that very Monday, the hurricane hit. That was the very 1st of November. I remember it. So how long were you in 4 different apartments?
Yeah, it was like 4 months. But I remember it was just such a weird time. Like, I was supposed to go to Breakthroughs, and I didn't go. I was supposed to go with CG that year, and I didn't go. And I, you know, it was me still just, you know, backing out of things, and just, you know, things that I did at a younger age. And I remember thinking, what is going on? Like, where am I going to even be living? And I couldn't afford to live on my own. I needed a roommate still. So it was just such a weird time.
How'd you overcome it?
I started making money. Like, it was just the craziest thing, because I think, and I remember talking to my sister, she's like, you have to be organized no matter where you are, in your car, in another state, no matter what. So I did so many calls in my car, and I remember calling Carrie Butilla and just losing it. And I don't even think she knew what to say at that point. And I said,
okay, I'm going to interrupt you. Define losing.
Yeah, I mean, I was supposed to go to an event or something, and I was sitting outside of storage in my car just crying. I don't even know if I said any words. And she's like, okay, you can just call me later. But I just remember that being a part of it. So, and I don't usually call Carrie crying, so that was a new one. But yeah, that was a bad time.
This is good to hear. It's good for people to really see what it's like to be in the trenches, what it's like to go through the process. I remember, Tara, in November of 1995, I looked at my credit card statements. I'd been avoiding them. I owed $99,000 on 15 different credit cards. That wasn't what freaked me out. What freaked me out is I realized I was out of credit, because I felt if I had credit, I could still be in business, but I realized I was completely out of credit. I called my father, and he gave me a grow up, son, get real. My father was cool enough to loan me $5,000, but it was just so humiliating because I was a 38 years old, $100,000 in credit card debt, been in back-to-back 3 straight companies that had gone out of business, and I wasn't even in a company right then. I had not only did I have no money, I had no credit. I'd never experienced that. I was like, oh my God, I have nothing. I have zero. I had a cry. I laid down in a closet, a walk-in closet, in an apartment complex, Country Hollow, 5858 Morgan Place, about 1,100 square feet. I laid in that closet and cried for about a half an hour. And then I got up. I went snow skiing. On the last $40 I had on credit, I went up to Kirkwood. I said, screw it. That wasn't what I said. I used the F word. I went up and skied. I came back down. The last money I went to Beverly Hills and visited a friend, called the newspaper ad out of the USA Today, and I made $460,000 the next year. True story. It's exactly how it happened.
Amazing.
Sometimes you have to break down to break three. As we're wrapping up here, any last insight you want to share? And also, how can someone find out more about you? How can someone become part of your YouTube channel? How can someone get mentored by you or join your culture? Would you share with the folks how that can be done?
I would love to. And I just can't stress enough for some of the people who just look at a picture and see how many likes or followers I have. It's just, that's not who I was. And it took me a long time. So if you're the person who doesn't really post on Facebook, or even if you're not a fitness instructor, it doesn't matter. But you can get in touch with me. You can follow me on Facebook, but you can also message me. You can go on my YouTube channel. It is Get Your Fit On with Tara. I share my choreography, some tips and motivational things like that. So I would love for you to, stay connected with me. And Jeff, I just can't even express in enough words how much I appreciate you and the gratitude I have for all the things that your coaching, mentorship, and friendship has done for me over the past 4 years. So thank you so much.
Tara, I am honored to receive it. I also want you to know that you are one of the classiest, most disciplined, exceptional human beings I've ever had the opportunity to share with. I mean, if anyone's looking for a role model or an example of how to be a first-class businesswoman, human being, entrepreneur, Tara, you are that woman. Your heart is open. Your ability to transmute and be transparent is very impressive, as people got to see tonight. And I'm so proud to be a part of your life. I want to thank you for you've been a great, you don't know this, but you've been a great mentor to me in many ways, just being the first-class woman that I've had the opportunity to really watch become the person you are. It's been humbling, to say the least, and liberating to watch your transformation. You're a fantastic human being.
Thank you so much, Jeff. I'm so humbled by your words, and I just love you so much.
Thank you, Tara. That is Tara Romano, everyone. As you said, you can find Tara on Facebook, her YouTube channels, and she is unequivocally a first-class woman human being. I want to thank everyone for being on tonight's call. A week from Saturday, I will be in Chicago, Illinois, then Long Island, New York. Long Island, New York is right around the corner, so looking forward to connecting with many of you in the next few weeks on the East Coast. Have a great evening, everyone. This call is officially a call and recorded. We'll be available on tomorrow by noon Eastern Standard Time. Have a great evening, everyone.